الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This week, once again, there was much fanfare because after 13 years since launching the first ever iPod, Apple revealed the iPhone 6 and the much-anticipated Apple Watch. And it's not called the iWatch, right? It's the Apple Watch. Now, I know we're in BlackBerry territory. Across the street, we have BlackBerry. So, you know, those of you who are closely associated with BlackBerry, please forgive me because I want to briefly speak about Apple for a few minutes. My first experience with Apple was maybe in the late 80s, early 90s. Maybe it was grade 2 or 3. There was a Macintosh. It's like the coolest thing around, right? And you use it to do math, play some math games, and maybe do some paintings and drawings. Microsoft Paint was not around back then. Or perhaps it was, but I didn't know about it. And, you know, it's a quite remarkable story when we see where it was. So Apple as a company, which direction it was heading in, basically close to bankruptcy in 1996 or so. And now turned around with a market cap of just over $600 billion and 80,000 employees worldwide. Right? So it's quite remarkable. And if we look at the role that Apple has played in terms of revolutionizing the role of technology in our lives, and I'm sure that others have as well, and of course BlackBerry had its share of innovations as well as did other companies. But really, if you look at what has come out from all of the how we have changed as a result of the products that have come out. I mean, we look at the communication industry, right? It has completely changed the way we communicate, right? We used to talk about video phones back in the days where people will actually pick up a corded phone and would have a camera and you would be able to talk, and now we're FaceTiming each other, right? And just the way smartphones have been designed and the type of activities and the type of things that we can use them for completely changed. If you look at the music industry, completely changed, right? Who's buying CDs now, right? We have shuffle songs, so the order of the songs doesn't really matter, or the audio doesn't really matter, because, you know, and the way people purchase audio and music has completely changed as well, right? And you're downloading individual tracks. The entire mobile phone industry as well, and I don't need to tell you about that, about how it has changed. Now, one of the things that are legendary about Steve Jobs, and again, this may be true for other CEOs and other innovators as well, is his attention to detail, right? And there's numerous stories you can find about how he would bring about last-minute changes or put on some huge effort just because there was something that didn't seem right, right? So there's one article I was reading where I think in one of the devices, the color for the yellow in the Google logo wasn't coming out right. And he had a problem with that, right? Because he wanted even though it was Google, right? But he wanted the yellow to appear as it should, right? And he had that fixed. So there was this enormous amount of attention to detail and trying to get it right and demanding from himself and from his team the best possible result. And you'll see what happens is, we are all involved in something to some degree, right? So whether we are working or at work or we are involved in other projects or other activities, and a lot of times during the course of our day, we end up doing things because we have to, or perhaps we don't really want to, right? And at times there's this lack of motivation and this lack of interest, or they're just distractions, and you know, it's a bit of a burden, and we just do enough just to get by because we know that there's certain things that we need to do, right? We need to hand in that project. We need to be available at the office. You know, we need to do certain things, so we just do them because otherwise we may have a problem. And you see, my brothers and sisters, a believer, one of the qualities of a believer is that he or she should always be aiming high and aiming for perfection. And of course, we're human beings, so it's very difficult for us to be 100% perfect 100% of the time. So it's not going to happen because we're weak and we make mistakes. And there's no doubt about that. But you see, the Prophet ﷺ has said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ إِذَا عَمِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلًا أَن يُتْقِنَهُ. That Allah loves if one of you does a job, He perfects it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually loves that. That if a person is actually doing something, you should endeavor to do it properly, and you should endeavor to do it in the most perfect way possible. And the commentators who, some of the commentators who have talked about this hadith, you know, say that it applies to all types of acts. It's not just about devotional acts, it's not just about worship, but of course it applies to that as well. So that when you're offering your salah, you're offering your praying prayers, you're reciting Quran, whatever you're doing, you want to make sure that you try to do it in the best possible way, to the utmost level of perfection possible for you. But then they say it also applies to other things as well. So whether it's work, or studies, or whether we're serving people, or whatever it is that we're doing, we want to try to strive and work hard to try to achieve perfection as much as possible. Now, the commentary that I was reading also mentions that, you know, who you are, so your faith, your guiding principles, your beliefs, all of this is reflected upon through your work, right? So if your work is good, if your work is excellent, and, you know, you do it in a good way, and so it has good effects, right? It reflects well upon you as a person. It reflects well upon your family, perhaps. It reflects well upon the institution, perhaps, where you have studied. And perhaps even your ethnic group. And if you're a person of faith, and faith is prominent in terms of, you know, your behavior, and you give a high priority to faith, then it also has the potential to reflect on your faith, reflect upon your faith as well. And the opposite, unfortunately, is also true. So, right? So if we do something and we do it half-heartedly, we don't put a sincere effort into it, and we just do it because we just sort of have to, and we're not really giving it our best effort, then that can also reflect poorly in all of those areas. The Prophet ﷺ has also said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That verily Allah has prescribed ihsan in all things, in every matter. And the word ihsan is a very deep word because it encompasses so many different meanings. Right? So it could be translated as excellence, perfection, and proficiency, to the point that the Prophet ﷺ has said that even if you need to take the life of an animal for your needs, so for example for meat or for whatever else, legitimate need, even that, do it with ihsan. Do it with excellence. Because you know what? You're taking the life of another living being, an animal, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you permission to do, but still it can cause pain and suffering if you don't do it properly. So yes, it's not, you know, it is going to cause something to the animal, but Allah has given you that right to make use of the creation such as animals, but do it in the best way possible so you don't cause undue harm, undue pain and suffering. Verse of the Quran we often recite in the khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. That indeed Allah commands to do justice and do ihsan. Right, and the commentators of the Quran, when they talk about this verse, they give two explanations. So one is ihsan in worship, excellence in worship. And it comes from the famous hadith of Jibreel, where Jibreel alayhi salam, the angel Gabriel, came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him certain questions To which the Prophet ﷺ replied, as a means of educating those who are around him and then, and of us, of course, as well, where he said that أَنَّعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. So ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you could see Him. But we know that's not possible because our eyes don't have that ability, at least not in this world, to see Him. For though you cannot see Him, yet He sees you. Right? So worship Him as if you can see Him, and you're not able to do that, so at the very least know that He is seeing you, He is watching you when you are doing the acts of worship. So to have that high level of consciousness of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ihsan in worship. But then also the commentators say it refers to excellence in all of our actions. Excellence in all of our actions, our habits, our morals, our relationships, our interactions, whether they're with, you know, people within our community, outside of our community, with other human beings, with animals, with nature, with whomever. Ihsan, excellence, is something that has been prescribed in all areas. So my brothers and sisters, striving to do what's best should be a part of who we are. It should be a part of our personality and our character as believers, that we're constantly striving to do what's best in the best way possible. So whenever we do something, whenever we are tasked with something, we give it our 100%. We give it our complete thought and effort and care. We don't do it half-heartedly. Especially when it comes to work. Because when we're working, we have an agreement, there's a contract. And as believers, we're told, we're instructed that there's a very high value in honoring our contracts and our agreements. A believer is not one who agrees to something and then breaks the agreement, or does not live up to the agreement, does not live up to their word. So we have a contract at work, we're there for a reason, we're being paid for that, for fulfilling our role, for doing our work properly. And therefore that too should be a priority. Not that we're at work and then we're spending time taking care of other business, replying personal emails, surfing the net, going on Kijiji, looking for stuff, you know, whatever people do at work, right? So that's not what it should be about, right? It should be about focusing on what we have agreed to do. Now the other thing, our brothers and sisters, to realize is that every skill, every strength, every opportunity and every challenge as well is actually a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Allah says in the Quran, Surah Al-Mulk, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Referring to himself, he says that he is the one who has created death and life to test you as to which of you is best indeed. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which one of you is best indeed? So life is not just filled with tests that come once in a while, but rather life in its entirety is a test. Every single moment that we're living is a test. So it's not just about how we behave when we're faced with challenges, or when we're faced with difficulties, but also how we behave when everything is well, when the going is good. How are we reacting to that? What are we doing? How are we behaving? And if you notice, what Allah is saying in that verse, in that ayah, the purpose of this test is not just to see who can do the right thing. It's not just to see who can do the right thing, but rather, the purpose is to see who can do the best thing. Not just the right or the good thing, but the best things. It's not just about what's right, but it's about what's best. Right? So at any given moment, what's the best thing you can be doing at that moment? In whichever state you're in, with whatever is available to you, what's the best possible choice you could be making at that time? So this means that we must endeavor to make the best out of every single moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us undoubtedly with opportunities to study, to learn, to understand. He has made us educated. And there's no doubt that alhamdulillah we are living in one of the best countries, or the best country in the world, in terms of opportunities, in terms of peace and security and health and prosperity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep it that way and increase it. And may He grant this to all other people of the world as well. So the question is, with all of these opportunities, and the contrast is so stark, subhanAllah, when we look at our situation right now and that of so many others around the world. So this is a great opportunity and a great blessing. So the question is, how can we put that to best use? How can we take best advantage of that? Now the question comes up, what is best? What are we referring to when we talk about doing what is best? For corporations, it's usually about increasing profitability, increasing profits. It's about the bottom line. It's about improving efficiencies, because every quarter, right, every year, you need to improve the performance. The investors want greater returns. Sales should go higher. Right? Revenue should increase. Everything should be going up. So that's what usually what corporations are worried about. And that's how ideas are judged as well. And that's how their execution is tailored as well. Right? And most of you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Right? It's all about what's going to make the most amount of money, what is going to help the company in becoming more and more successful. So for us though, as individuals, what should it be about? Should it be about greed and desires for the self? Right? So how can I amass the most amount of wealth? How can I get the most power? How can I achieve the best quality of life? How can I have most of the best of material items? Is that what it should be about? Is that what should be driving us every day to do our best, to work hard? Or should there be a higher purpose? Should there be something more to what motivates us to do well and to want to succeed? And this is what should make a believer stand out. This is one of the qualities that should make a believer stand out. That a believer does not do anything without a higher purpose. There should be a greater purpose to whatever we are doing in our lives. And that purpose should be something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leads to positivity. Something good, something positive. So for example, if you're working hard and trying to make a good living and trying to be successful because you want to earn a good, permissible livelihood so we don't have to depend on others, so that we can fulfill our responsibilities towards our loved ones. And sure, that's a great goal, right? That's a great motivator. Or perhaps we want to solve people's problems, not just make more money off them. Because again, going back to corporations, not that I hate business, I'm not anti-business, of course. Okay? Of course, business actually in trade is a great tradition in our faith and something that the Prophet ﷺ used to do. But at the end of the day, we all know that most businesses, especially large corporations today, don't really care about people. They don't really care about people. Okay? Although they might try to say that they do, at the end of the day, it's about the survival of the corporation, it's about making more and more money. At whichever cost. Yes, sometimes you have to satisfy rules and regulations. Sometimes you have to satisfy the public. If everyone wants, you know, like if green is a big word and people are starting to care about the environment, well, you sort of need to care about the environment if you want to be accepted, if you want to be successful. So most of the time, that's what it's about. Right? But for us, as individuals, is that really the best approach? Right? So try to solve people's problems, not just try to make money off them. Or perhaps earn a great living and then help those who are needy and help those deserving projects. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that two people came, two men came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, which of the people are most beloved to Allah? And which of the deeds are most beloved to Allah?" So which of the people are most beloved to Allah? And which of the deeds are most beloved to Allah? It's a longer reply, so I'll take the first part. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people most beloved to Allah are those who are most beneficial to people. The people most beloved to Allah are those who are most beneficial to people. Right? Those who are doing something for others. Those who are serving humanity, trying to improve things for people, making a positive contribution sincerely for the goodness of others. So brothers and sisters, feeding our own desires, running after wants, satisfying our greed, right? These are not positive aims. These are not forms of positive motivation, because they lead to certain ills. So for example, building self-centeredness, arrogance, and eventually leading a person to worship their own desires and their own selves. And this is clearly not why we're here. This is not why Allah has put us on this earth, so that we satisfy ourselves and we worship our own desires and whatever we want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Do not follow the selfish desires. Don't follow the selfish desires, because, or lest it should lead you astray from Allah's path. Right? When a person starts worshipping, starts following their own desires, the more that happens, the more the risk increases to come off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also narrated to have said, and this is very important, three things destroy and three things save. As for the three things that destroy, they are greediness that is obeyed. Three things that destroy. Greediness that is obeyed. Desires that are followed. And a person becoming self-conceited or arrogantly proud with themselves. As for the three things that save, there are the consciousness or the reverent fear of Allah in secret and in public. Moderation in poverty and richness. And fairness in anger and pleasure. Greediness that is obeyed, destructive. Desires that are followed, destructive. Person becoming self-conceited, destructive. And the things that save, having consciousness, taqwa, reverent fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in private and in public. So it's not that when we're around people, we're very pious and we're worried about, you know, inshallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, we're just like, you know, looks like we're doing dhikr all the time, we're remembering Allah all the time, but when we're in private, oh, whatever. Right? It doesn't matter now because no one's watching us. Right? So to have that state both in public and in secret. Moderation in poverty and in richness. So whatever the situation may be, both are extremes, a person still adopts a moderate approach in their dealings, in their purchases, in how they behave, in what they do. And finally, fairness in anger and pleasure. Again, two opposite ends of the spectrum. So whether you're happy or you're extremely upset, still be fair. And we talked about fairness and justice a few weeks ago. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that greediness is not an ingredient for success. It may seem like it is, but it's not. Rather, it's an ingredient for failure. So my brothers and sisters, let us reflect. Let us reflect. Or what is, first of all, the level of effort towards perfection that we put into what we do, whether it's a project at work, or whether it's your business, or whether it's work you're doing around the home, or anything else? What is the level of effort that we put in towards perfection in whatever we do? And secondly, are we responding to our opportunities and challenges in the best way possible? Right now, is this the best thing that we should be doing? Yes. Right? It's time for Jum'ah, we're here for Jum'ah. Alhamdulillah. Right? But after we leave, any choices that we make and every choice that we make, is it the very, very best possible choice that we could make at that moment? And what's motivating us? What's the motivation behind our direction and where we're going? Are we just doing it to serve ourselves and our desires? or our worldly selfishness? Or do we have a higher purpose behind our lives and behind our choices? One that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and benefits others apart from ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who always do what's best. May He make us those who strive for perfection in all our deeds and actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who are motivated by positive and higher goals. Ameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. A few important announcements, inshaAllah. So first of all, our dear brother Ali Muhammad, his mother-in-law passed away in Toronto a few days ago. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant her maghfirah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon her and lighten her grave, and to give patience to all of her loved ones, and may He forgive and grant His mercy to all of those who have passed away. Secondly, I'd also like to mention and welcome that another candidate running for the Liberal nomination, federal nomination in this riding of Kanata Carlton, is present today with us. So she'll have a few moments to speak to you after our prayer, after the salah, inshallah, and ask you to stay for them, inshallah. Tonight we are having our first of our Friday evening programs. So what we want to do is to create an opportunity for the community to gather outside of Jum'ah, of Friday prayer time, because we know people have to go to work and so on. So in the evenings, we will be having events, inshallah, every week, or almost every week. So the first one is the beginning of our series called I Discover. And the purpose of this is to gather people together. It's an open event, free to everyone, open to Muslims, people who are not, your neighbors, whoever you'd like to bring, men, women, children, all welcome. And we will be getting together and screening a documentary. And today we will be watching The Language of Science, from the series Science and Islam. And inshallah, we will, I think it will be a good watch, because it will give us an opportunity to again reflect and think about our history, and especially the contributions that Muslims, the enormous contributions that Muslims have made. And we can also have a discussion, inshallah, after that, to talk about how we can sort of get that spirit back, inshallah. So this happens this evening at 8 p.m. in this building, but just across the hall in the Minto room, inshallah, and everyone is welcome. And for the schedule for this event, for future events, just visit our website, inshallah. On Wednesday, we will be starting another new program as well called Divine Words. So this will be a 30-minute session on some of the short surahs, the short chapters of the Quran that we often recite in here, but perhaps haven't, you know, put a lot of thought to. So we'll be having that, inshallah, beginning Wednesday. And this will be happening at our Masallah, at our prayer room, so 1120 March Road. And again, my brothers and sisters and children, everyone is welcome, and that is also free. And the next Friday, we will be having a different event, which we will announce at that time, inshallah. Every day after Isha prayer, we also do a short hadith reading, as well with a brief commentary. As far as our weekend and evening schools go, the Hikmah's weekend Saturday school is starting up. So those who were on a waiting list, if you have received an email, if you sign up if you registered your child and you were put on a waiting list and you have received an email, then you need to come in this Saturday for registration. If you signed up and you were put on a waiting list and have not received an email, then don't come this Saturday, because that second waiting list is now being processed, and you may be called invited to come next Saturday, inshallah. For the Medina Quran School, which runs at All Saints High School on Mondays and Wednesdays, registration is actually happening this Monday, and the first class will be on Wednesday. For details on all of these, or both of these and other programs, please do visit our website at canadamuslims.ca. And finally, I do record all of these talks and put them online. Some people have been asking me about the last two, so I didn't get a chance to upload them, unfortunately. I'll try to upload these three, inshallah, including today's, on my website, which is secunder.ca and firstname.ca. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Kanata Imam, and on Facebook as well. And of course, before I forget, there always is a need for donations. So please, I know Ramadan is gone, but the need continues, so please make an effort.